Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, public sector pay talks are due to resume this week. Unions and government still at odds on the scale of the proposed increase and also the structure of the deal. The sense, though, is that an agreement will be reached imminently, but what effect will it have on the economy? Well, I'm joined in the studio now by Professor John Fitzgerald, Adjunct Professor in Economics at Trinity College Dublin. John, you're very welcome to talk through this and how it might work. So we know now that the government offer is 8.5%. Over 2.5 years. The unions reportedly want 12.5%. What do you think, firstly, of the government offer?
It looks a bit low. That if you look over the last 4 years, public sector pay has risen a bit less than the private sector. Now, long term, you need to pay public servants what they'd get in the private sector. You've got to hold good people, stop losing good people. So you need to pay the going rate. Mm-hmm. It's not about fairness, it's about paying the going rate. And like people in the IT sector are paid 80,000 a year. So if you're looking for an IT specialist, you're going to have to compete. So I think that the fact over the last 4 years, average hourly earnings in the public sector has risen slightly more slowly than the private sector. And the private sector is currently growing at about 4% a year. It looks to me that 8.5 is a bit on the low side. Maybe 12.5 might be a bit on the high side. But as with all these things, you'll end up splitting
it's somewhere in the middle. And can we afford to pay closer to the 12.5?
Yes, in the sense that if you don't, you're going to lose good people in the public sector, or you're not going to be able to hire people. I heard a story earlier on their shorter guards, for example, mm-hmm. on Morning Ireland. You've got to pay the going rate, and I think a bit more than 8.5 is probably going to be the going rate.
So if you were to hazard a guess, where would you say it's going to land?
The simple thing is you have it and say it'll be 10.5.
Mm-hmm. So you've been writing about this, I saw on Friday in the Irish Times, that the economy is likely to do well this year, but also because inflation has been falling. That's made a difference to how people feel and how much money they have left at the end of the week.
Wages have gone up in the last 2 years, but prices have gone up a lot more. So we're not as well off. We're maybe as well off as we were in 2019, but not as in 2021. So what you're seeing now is prices are going up 3-4% and wages are going up 4% plus. So from now on, our wages will buy us a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think that people, when they feel better, they will be better off this year than in the last 18 months, 2 years.
So when it's coming to the end of last year, 2023, the unions were waiting for the government response to, you know, negotiate this pay deal with us now because it's ending at the end of the year. And the government, they said, were silent on it. Do you think that perhaps the speculation was right that the government was holding out because they knew that inflation was going to pull back from where it had been?
The union officials would have known that. But it may be better to settle from both parties at a point where the workers, the people whom they represent, know that inflation is down. It's not just a promise, it's happening. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a huge urgency about settling this because if it goes on, pay would be backdated or whatever. So I think that negotiations take time. It's a long time. I was a union official 40 something years ago. It's a long time since I've been in that space. Mm-hmm. But I think they will probably reach resolution.
The unions say they want it dealt with very quickly because their people are waiting for this money to come in and they've suffered because of inflation. Of course, on the political side, they'll want this sorted before the local and European elections come round.
Yeah, well, it'll be certainly sorted before then. The issue is the timing of the pay increases over 2.5 years. The government, I think, want it to the bigger increase in October, because the minister's probably put a bit into the budget, but he doesn't want to have to redo his budget. Mm-hmm. Where But the timing politics may well come into it. Like if you think there's going to be an election sometime, maybe in the last quarter of this year, first quarter of next year, maybe having the big pay increase in the 1st of October might be good. But actually, I don't think things like that will affect people's behaviour.
So increase the offer a bit,
yeah,
and restructure it. And that might get it over the line.
Yeah, a restructuring might be now. It's up to the unions what they want. Mm-hmm. In terms of what their members want, the government probably don't want to have a big increase this year because they don't want to redo their budget. They had to redo it last year because of health.
Yeah, I see Ismi out today encouraging the government to hold the line on this, as you might expect from the small and medium enterprise organisation. They say one size fits all solution is no longer appropriate in dealing with our public sector. They acknowledge that there's a recruitment and retention issue in some areas of the public service, but not in all. So is this type of deal the one that we should be using?
Well, going back to the financial crisis, the ESRI published an important study showing that public servants were paid 20% more than the private sector for comparable skills. And the government cut public sector pay. So since 2008, public sector pay rates have risen by 10 to 15% less than the private sector. So now, by the 2015-17, public sector pay rates were on average what the private sector was paying. Now, the studies do suggest that people on low pay in the public sector are better paid than their comparable people in the private sector, but people on higher pay are probably paid less than the private sector. Mm-hmm. Now, the deal is actually structured more to favour those on low pay, which may increase that differential. So the problem is setting one pay deal for everybody is problematic. So I think there may be some local give or take of 1% or something, where there may be places where they have a serious retention problem.
Yes.
Because pay in the last 4 years has risen slightly more slowly in the private sector than the public sector.
Okay. Now you say,
or in the public sector than the private sector.
You say the outlook is good for 2024 for the economy in general, but there are specific hotspots. And looking at the shortage of construction workers, given our housing crisis, that's a big problem.
Yeah, what the ESRI said on Friday was, the government have the money to spend, but the problem is you can't go to IKEA and buy 10,000 houses in kit form and stick them up. You have to build them in Ireland. And we're at full employment, and there's like employment in the IT sector rose by 6%. Actually, we might be better off, and they're paid really highly. They pay huge, a lot of the income tax, a lot of the corporation tax, but we might be better having more of them constructed. So the problem, what the SRI said was, if you want to prioritise housing or if you want to prioritise climate change, you're going to have to stop some of the other building office blocks, building factories and so on. And maybe you should raise taxes on them to discourage it. You need to shift people. If your priority is housing, you've got to find, but you don't turn an IT specialist into a plumber mm-hmm. overnight. So there is a longer term problem. The SRI report was about the National Development Plan out to 2030. We have full employment, and it's different. For 100 years, we wanted jobs. We have the jobs now, but they're in the wrong places, and we need to reallocate.
But it's very difficult to do that, isn't it?
It's going to take time, yeah. And and the building construction sector, the SRI also did a very detailed piece in it on the energy needs. And you're talking 10,000-20,000 additional people needed to build the windmills and so on. Where are they going to come from? They're going to come from people who might have been building houses or factories. So we're highly constrained. We have the money, but we can't import them. We've got to produce it ourselves.
We had really an interesting conversation here in the programme on Friday about housing targets. John Moran was here, and he was saying you have to set your target at a realistic level. So set your target at, say, 60,000, which is what we heard over the weekend is the realistic target. Do you think that that is a wise thing to do, given that the shortage in construction workers means there's very little chance of meeting that, at least in the medium term?
It's fantasy. It's not going
to
happen.
But should you do it so that your ambition is set at that point?
I don't see setting your ambition. Deal with the problems. And don't, on climate change, which has been my major concern over the last 8 years, we've legislated, we're going to have emissions will be cut by 51%. And the Iraq has spent an awful lot of time discussing the targets rather than actually changing the planning laws to make it happen. So setting ambition, I'm less concerned about actually delivering. And it's the constraints on building construct on delivering which you can change. And there's things like probate. It takes so long for probate. So when I die, my house will be vacant for a long time until my children get probate and the house is sold. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So why don't you speed up the that's a small thing. It's a relatively few houses. But deal with those problems rather than start setting targets which are unachievable.
John, good to talk to you as always. Thank you very much for coming in. That's Professor John Fitzgerald. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.